Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Tonight we're going to hear from an incredible woman of God, and I just want you to continue to lean in and let your faith and expectation be at an all-time high tonight. Is that all right? Would you stand to your feet as we welcome Pastor Debbie Prescott, the woman of God, as she comes.
God bless you all. I need you to take your seats. It's a full house. And I don't know about you, but I can feel faith in this place. I am wrecked. My makeup's all gone because I was crying so much in worship. But, you know, anytime, please do not wait for someone to pray for you. Do not wait. Right? Just receive. Just start receiving the whole time. Just receive. Amen. Because the Holy Spirit is here and so wants to touch you. Okay, I'm a bit overwhelmed, but let's just pray. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place. We know you're here, but we just want to welcome you. We want to say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. You are welcome to do whatever you want. You are welcome. Holy Spirit, we make room for you. We thank you, Father, for who you are. We thank you that you've given us Jesus. We thank you that you've given us Holy Spirit to be here, to minister to us in ways that we cannot even imagine. So we want to yield to you. We yield to you. We open up our heart. We open up our mind. We open up our emotions, all the closed doors in our heart. We just fling them open tonight. We fling them open and we say, Holy Spirit, have your way. We are yours and yours alone. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you honor and glory for who you are. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, I don't think there'd be too many of us in this room who would doubt that Jesus Christ had a healing ministry. Would there be anybody that would doubt that? You just, even if you've never read the Bible, I'm sure you've heard, because the world knows that. The world knows of his incredible healing ministry. We're told in Matthew 14:26, even if you touched his garment, you were healed. Can you imagine that? Just touching his garment and you were healed. It tells us in Acts 10:38 that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, we don't have a doubt believing that. You know, there's not one record in Scripture of anyone coming to Jesus, not one record of anyone coming to Jesus, needing healing and him turning them away. Not one record of anyone coming to Jesus and him saying, sorry, no. Even historical records outside of the Bible itself testify to the power of the healing and the miracles of Jesus Christ when he was here on this earth. We don't have any problem believing that. And those of you who have been around Christian circles for a while, you would have heard of people like John G. Lake and Smith Wigglesworth and Alexander Downey. You know, they said of John G. Lake, he started this healing ministry in a place called Spokane in Washington. It was they said it was actually the healthiest city in America because of the thousands and thousands and thousands of healings that happened as a result of this one man's faith. And I was reading, I love to read the stories of these people. And you know what really sparked him off was his wife was actually dying. She was on her deathbed. And he was so angry with the discrepancy between what he was reading in the Word of God And his experience, he actually picked up his Bible and he threw it at the fireplace in anger. It's like, God! And the Bible flicked open at the passage I just read to you at Acts 10, 38. And suddenly a surge of faith just rose up in his heart and he actually contacted Alexander Downey and had him pray with him, and his wife was totally healed. Now, there are stories after stories after stories after stories of those people, anointed men and women of God. But the truth of the Word of God is this. Jesus said these words, all who believe in me, right? John 12, 14, 12, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, he who believes in me, not some people who believe in me, not very special anointed people who believe in me, he who believes in me, everyone, you might have been saved 5 minutes, you may not even be saved, he who believes in me, the works that I do will he also do, and greater works, because I go to my Father, right? That's all of us, that's every single person in this room. Mark 16:20 says the preaching of his word, Jesus said this, would be confirmed by signs and miracles. The miracles and the healings actually testify to the truth of what we believe. The truth that Jesus is who he says he was. That Jesus is alive and well. That the Holy Spirit is here to heal. That's the truth. So let me ask you this question. Why aren't we seeing more of the miraculous? Why aren't we? And I believe one of the major reasons for this, and I want to quickly just go through some of these things because I want to build, there's incredible faith here, but I want to remove any doubt in your mind. All right? What I believe is one of the reasons is there's actually confusion about what God's will is. There's sometimes just a little bit of doubt. Because we hear people say, well, maybe God doesn't, you know, it's not your time to be healed. Or maybe, you know, God wants to teach you something through this. And I'm sure God always wants to teach us something. But does God want to put sickness on me? Does he? How do I know that for sure? Right? How do I know? Because I'm here to say God wants to heal and bless his people. How do I know that? It's no use me just saying that to you. I've got to be able to back up what I say with the Word of God. My opinion means nothing. It won't heal anybody. It's the power of the Word of God because the Word is spirit and it is life. It is spirit and it is life. And even when I say these scriptures, if you can grab them, you'll be healed. You'll be healed. Right? 3 John 2. Beloved, I pray that you will prosper in all things and be in health. Even as your soul prospers. This is written, if you believe the Word of God, this was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. What is he saying? I want you well. Psalm 103. He pardons all my iniquities and heals all my diseases. Now, who in this room does not believe that Jesus Christ pardons sin? Put your hand up. All right, can you possibly tell me how you can split that sentence and believe that he pardons sin but he will not heal disease? It's the same word, pardons all our iniquities, heals all our diseases. One in the same, one in the same. Matthew 10:8, we are told to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. Freely you have received, therefore freely give. Psalm 147:3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Jesus, as we've said, there was no one that he turned away, and he is the perfect representation of the Father. He is the perfect. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus Christ, 100% man, 100% God. He was God himself. Never turned a single person away. Did they go away not healed? Whether they were even grateful or not, do you remember the 10 lepers? Right? It didn't matter. If they came to him, he gave to them freely. And that's the heart of Father God. That's the heart of Father in heaven. That's what he wants to do. You know, and it's so important that you get that. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why would it be different today? Are they still not sick people today? Do we not need healing today? Does the world not need to see a demonstration of the power of the kingdom of God? Right? You know, you're not going to need healing in heaven. You're not going to need it. You know, and we are told, as Bill Johnson says, you know, and they in Bethel have seen so many recorded, there's so many recorded miracles. But he says, you know, we're told to pray, God, you know, your will done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, is there sickness in heaven? No. No sickness in heaven. Therefore, we know that's God's will. And we're told to pray that down. That's what God wants it like here. That's his heart. That's his will. All right? And if you believe that God would put sickness on you, then why you shouldn't be going to the doctor, because you're being disobedient to God. How ridiculous is that? Is that not crazy to you? It is absolutely crazy. It takes more faith to believe that than to believe in a good God. You know, there is more than 45 scriptures in the Word, more than 45, testifying to the Word that God wants to heal, that healing is the children's bread, that God's heart is to heal. But healing doesn't automatically come to pass. Why? God's will on earth doesn't automatically happen. Right? 1 Peter 3:9 says this, God's not willing that any should perish. Right? You know that scripture? God's not willing that any should perish, but all would come to everlasting life. Yeah? That's God's will. Does that happen? Does everyone get saved? No. Only those who receive that by faith. It's not God's will. He doesn't want anyone to perish. It's not his will that they perish. It says that. But some of them do, because they do not receive by faith what he actually did for them when he went to the cross, died, paid the full price for their sin, and wants them to come in relationship with him. It's exactly the same with healing. God wants you well. He wants you healed and whole, but you have to receive it the same way those of you are saved in this room as you receive your salvation. You can't earn it. You didn't earn it. You didn't work for it. You received it by faith. You took it by faith. And that's what God wants you to do now with your healing. Take it. Take it by faith. Take it. You know, I want to have a look at one scripture, and I'm just wondering if we can get it up on the screen. And it's 1 Peter 2:24 in the Amplified. If you can't, okay. Excuse me. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, willingly offered himself on it as on an altar of sacrifice so that we might die to sin, becoming immune from the penalty and power of sin, and live for righteousness. For by his wounds you who believe have been healed. Does it say you're going to be healed? Right, what does it say? Have been healed. Every single thing that you need for your healing has already been done. It was done when Jesus Christ went to the cross. Everything, you don't need anything added. You can't work for your healing. You receive it by faith. Now, most of us believe that salvation is about the forgiveness of sin, and that is correct. But it's not just about the forgiveness of sin. It is not just about that, right? The Greek word for saved, when it says that God, you know, saved us, is sozo. That's the Greek word. But that word, when you read in your Bible saved, that you know, God wants people saved from their sin, that word in the Greek is sozo. When you read that Jesus healed the lepers, healed the blind man, same word. Sozo. Exactly the same word. The same word in Greek. What does that Greek word mean? Well, I looked it up, and this is what it means. saved and rescued from Satan's power, restored into wholeness of God's order and well-being, saved from eternal punishment of sin, healed physically, mentally, emotionally. That's it. That's it. That's it. Do not limit what Jesus did on the cross. If you can believe that your sins are forgiven, now let's believe that you're going to be physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually healed. Amen? Let's believe that. We've got to take it by faith. You know, and I have people come up and say to me, but I don't feel, for example, God loves me. I can't feel it. Now, does God love them? Yeah. Do you know for sure? Yeah. Why? Because it tells us that in Scripture that God so loved the world. Just one scripture, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him will not perish, but have everlasting life, right? If they don't feel it, it's not that he didn't give it, is it? It's not that he didn't give it, it's just they don't realize what they've actually got. They don't realize it. It's the same with healing. Jesus has done his bit, right? He doesn't need to go to the cross again, die and rise again for your healing. He's done his bit. He gave his life for your healing. He gave his life for your healing. All you've got to do is receive it by faith. And you know what? That is the only basis on which God heals. Right? It is not, and I have people think, well, you know, I can't receive much because I haven't really prayed much and, you know, I haven't read the word much and whatever. It is not on that basis. When you read the word and you study the word, what that does is give you a greater revelation of what God has already done for you. You see, it gives you more understanding, and your faith grows because you get greater knowledge and understanding of what Jesus already has done for you. And I remember at one time there was a man in our church who was very, very ill, and he'd been an amazing man of God, phenomenal man of God. And I'm praying for him and on my own at home, and I'm saying, Lord, you know, this guy is such an amazing man of God. You know, please, I'm about to say, you know, please, healing. And the Holy Spirit stopped me and said, as soon as I said amazing man of God, God said, I don't heal on that basis. It's not on that basis. It's not on the basis of his performance. It's not on that basis. It's on the basis it's already been done because I did it. I purchased it when I went to the cross. So get rid of that idea. I'm not worthy. I haven't done enough. It's got nothing to do with you. It's got everything to do with Jesus. Everything to do with Jesus. You know, Romans 8:11, if we just got a revelation of that scripture alone, it would change our lives. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells where? In you, in me, in you, in you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you. God's healing power is already within you. The scary thing, it is now under your authority. Right? God's done his part. The question is, will you use your authority? Will you use the authority that Jesus Christ won for you, won back from Satan when he went to the cross? Use it to come against the demonic and anything else that is going to tell you that Jesus Christ is not your healer and that he has not already purchased your healing. You've got to fight for it. So it says, James 4:7 says, submit to God, resist the devil. All you've got to do is receive it by faith. Believe, the Bible says, when you pray, believe that you've received. Mark 11:24, right? Whatever thing you ask for when you pray, believe that you've received them and you will have them. Now, is that a lie? You either believe all of Scripture or none of it, okay? And that's what it says. Now, we know it's God's will to heal, yeah? Yeah? Therefore, if I ask for my body to be healed, right, I am aligning my word, my what I'm praying for is 100% in alignment with God, yep? 100%. He's in agreement with that prayer, 100%. So when you ask him, you've got to believe immediately you've received that. Immediately that's come into your spirit. That second you get you say, yes, Lord, I need you to do this, it's done. Right? It's already done. All you're doing is appropriating, taking and it's making it yours, what he did on the cross. You get it? That's all you've got to do. Now, you've got to resist the devil. You've got to resist the devil. And the devil is a liar. The devil will lie to you, and you've got to take every thought captive. So he'll say to you, but you don't feel any different, do you? You don't feel any different. Can't you feel that pain? Can't you feel that? Now, the only power the enemy has is what you hand to him when you agree with him. Right? Faith is the substance of things not seen, evidence of things not seen. You haven't seen it yet. It's happened. But you've got to keep believing it, keep declaring it, keep standing in faith for it, and know that it is done. It is done. It is done. Do not give the enemy, hand him legal right to torment you. Do not agree with his lies. You know, it says take every thought captive. That means you've got to grab it and make it come into obedience with the word of God and say no, no agreement. You know, there have been times in my lounge room when I've been praying for something and I've felt that torment all the time. Because you know what? Those thoughts, many of your thoughts are not your thoughts. They're actually demonic thoughts. They're demonic thoughts that are coming in to try and rip out of your heart the word of God that has been sown in and everything that God wants. And I've been screaming in my lounge room, no agreement, no agreement. And I have been declaring scripture and declaring it and declaring it to see that come to pass. And I tell you what, I have seen more miracles than I could ever share with you on this stage. And you know, I'm still learning so much about how to steward what Jesus Christ has done for us. So I see everyone healed, no. But I tell you what, I see a whole lot more people healed than I've ever seen before. Ever seen before. Because God wants this and the time is right and the time is now. You've got to, it says, destroy speculations and every lofty thought that exalts itself above the knowledge of God's will. God's will is healing. So pull down every lie that will say, no, you can't get healed of this condition. Don't you remember it's right in your family line? Well, Jesus Christ took the curse. Galatians 3:13, when he hung on the cross. You're not under that curse anymore. You're not even in that family line anymore. You're grafted into the true vine of Jesus Christ. You're not in that family line anymore. So if this family line over here has got heart disease and cancer, praise God, you're not in it anymore. You're over here. So unless Jesus Christ has got cancer, unless Jesus Christ has got heart condition, it is not yours. Don't receive it. Don't receive anything that comes from the pit of hell. Don't receive it. You've got to fight. And you've got to see yourself well. You know, I was listening to a man of God called Andrew Womack who has taught me a lot. He has taught me a lot and has seen himself, including his own son, three people raised from the dead. His own son was in the morgue for 5 hours in the cooler thing, naked with the toe tag on his toe. And 5 hours. And his father came in with a word from the Lord, prayed, and he was raised from the dead. And this man, you know, and I have learned a lot, and he has taught me a lot, you know, and just listening to him and soaking up, because it's all word, 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 word. But he gave this example, and he said there was a guy that was a healing evangelist, and there was this woman who had been prayed for multiple times. She had very, very, very thick glasses. And she was the pastor's wife. And she just, you know, every time that someone would come through, they'd all pray for her. And she would, you know, never get healed. She'd never be able to receive it. And she was embarrassed. So this guy comes through and she's sort of hiding up in the back corner. She doesn't want anyone to pray for her. I'm sure we all can understand, you know. But anyway, he pulls her out. He finds her. And he says to her, right, he prays for her. He says to her, can you see yourself? Can you see? He says to her, can you see? And she goes to open her eyes. And he says, no, 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 close your eyes. Can you see? And he says this about every time she goes to open her eyes. He says, no, no, close them. Can you see? And he said these words to her, you've got to be able to see yourself seeing. You've got to be able to see yourself in the spirit as actually healed. You've got to see it. And I say to you tonight, you've got to see yourself in the spirit healed. You've got to see whatever condition it is. You're going to the doctor and them saying, I can't find that. You've got to see yourself healed and whole. And he kept saying this to her. Finally, she got it. She's got her eyes because she said, yeah, I can. I can actually see myself seeing. He said, now open your eyes. And she was healed. She was healed. Completely healed. And I know that to be true because I've had that experience. I just didn't have the theology to back it. I've had that experience where I've seen something in the spirit. I've seen it. And then it comes to pass in terms of healing. And I want you guys to see yourself. See your situation as it lines up with God. It says you are seated in heavenly places. You are seated with Christ in the heavenly realm. And he sees you from a different perspective. And you've got to sit there with him until what you see lines up with what he's seeing. Lines up with what he wants to do. So don't believe any more lies. Amen? Now also, we've got to remove some blockages here as well. So the first blockage is doubt and unbelief. It's like, nah, I'm just going to receive it. I'm going to believe I receive it. And I'm going to call my body into kingdom order. You receive in your spirit. Then you release from your spirit right through your body. Right? I want you, as we pray tonight, I want you to just see that happening. It's like, I prayed, I've got it. It's in my spirit. Now I'm going to release it into my body. I'm going to call my body into kingdom order in Jesus' name. Right? That's how we're going to pray tonight. But also, God has spoken in his word that there can be things, some things that can block what he wants to do. And one of those things, and not in every case or every circumstance, and I'll give scriptures to back up what I'm saying, but known sin can be related to sickness. Not in every circumstance at all. In fact, in John 9:2, the disciples, as we know, asked Jesus about the blind man who sinned. Was it him or his fathers? And Jesus said neither of them. Neither of them did. But there are other scriptures where Jesus actually relates the two. So in John 5:1-14, he heals the man. And then later on, the man comes up to him and he says, stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. So known sin, I'm not talking about, but stuff that you know that you are practicing that God does not want you to do, and you know of it. And all you've got to do is simply repent. Turn away. Really simple. Nothing complicated. Lord, I repent. I turn away from this. I'm letting this go. Because you see, this gives the enemy legal right in your life. Legal right. The interesting thing to me in John 5:1-14, with the man that Jesus told him to stop sinning or something worse would happen, he healed him before he said that. Jesus just didn't want his situation to come back on him. So what happens is that it gives the enemy legal right, and you don't want that. All right? Very, very simple. You don't want to give the enemy direct access into your life. The other thing that I think is a really big one, and that is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness does the same thing. Matthew 18:34-35 says it gives the enemy a legal right to torment you. You've got to forgive others from your heart, not because they deserve it. You know, I stand here as an abuse victim. When I was 7, my dad, and some of you have probably heard my story, but my father was dying and my mother left me with neighbours. And the guy locked me in his garage for 6 months on and off, every time I would be left there, and sexually abused me. And I lost my innocence at 7. And that man went to jail for 2.5 years, but I went into a prison until I got saved for about another 12 or 14 or 16 years. Until I met Jesus, who set me completely free. But one thing I had to do in order to walk in that freedom, in order to be completely restored, in order for my heart to be healed totally so that I could relate to men normally, because I was fearful of all men. I went to university, I was fearful of male tutors. I was fearful of having any conversation one-on-one with any man. Right? How did God heal me? He took me, and I knew very little scripture in those days. He said, Debbie, you've got to forgive him. Not because he deserves it, but because I've forgiven you of everything. And I don't want any legal right in your life to hold you to what happened. Otherwise, it's tied to you forever. It doesn't matter if he dies. I could be the age I am now and I would still be unhealed. I'd still be sick in my spirit, in my emotions. I'd still be sick. But the forgiveness releases you. It releases you. It heals you. Because otherwise the enemy is a legalist and understands the legal right that you are giving through your unforgiveness. And I felt very strongly as I was praying today, the Holy Spirit said for me to really go for this. Because unforgiveness can lead to sickness. I have seen it. I remember praying for a girl at the altar at Planet Shakers, and this happened countless times. But this one girl, I'm praying for her. She had a frozen shoulder and it was so bad. She had cortisone and everything, but she hadn't been able to move it properly for 10 years. For 10 years. And I said to her, how much can you move? She's kind of like this. And that's with medication. Anyway, I'm praying and the Holy Spirit says to me, ask her if is anyone she needs to forgive. So I said, look, darling, God loves you incredibly. And he wants you healed. But can I just ask you, is there anyone that you need to forgive? And she starts crying. She says, but I can't. I can't. Anyway, I said to her, Jesus is here. And this person, it was a horrible story of abuse and all the rest. Anyway, I shared my story with her and I said to her, Jesus is here to heal you. But he wants you to completely forgive this person. That person is not off God's hook, but you will be off this person's hook. You will be free. You will be free. You will never have to live through this torment every time that you think of that person or even, you're reminded of that circumstance. You will be free. I wasn't even thinking of physical healing. I'm thinking of emotional healing. Anyway, so I took her through a really simple prayer. Lord, I just release forgiveness toward. And I said, it's not... You don't wait till you feel it for like you want to forgive them. Oh, you'll be waiting forever. All right? You forgive in order to heal. All right? So she prayed this very simple will. As an act of my will, I release forgiveness in Jesus' name. Then I said to her, now lift your arm. And without a word of a lie, God is my witness. She lifted it straight up in the air. She was totally and completely healed. Totally and completely healed. Now that's a word for a number of you here. A number of you here, you've got to go there and deal with that. Go there and deal with that issue, right? We can block our healing by faithless words spoken. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, Proverbs 18:21. And it says, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it. That is scary, but it's also wonderful because it means you can speak words of life. You can speak words of life over your health. You can speak words of life over your family. You can speak words of life over your child. You can speak words of life. And the Holy Spirit rides in on his word. His word, remember, is spirit and life. Right? But do not give the enemy legal right by agreeing with his lies. Do not let him take your mouth. You've got authority. Do you understand? Don't let him take your mouth so that you're releasing what he wants you to say. Oh, I'll never get well. I'll be sick. All this stuff. And you can curse your own life through the words that you speak. You've got to repent. Say, Lord, I repent of saying that. I repent of saying I'm never going to get well. I repent of saying I wish I was dead. And that's a prophetic word right now. I repent of those words in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I repent. I speak a crop failure over those words. And I speak life. With a long life, I will satisfy you and show forth my salvation. God wants to bless you. Speak words of life. All right. Are you ready for us to pray? Are you ready? Okay. Before we do, I want to pray for anyone here who has never given their life over to Jesus Christ. And I want everyone just to close their eyes and just think that they're just on their own, not in a room with heaps of people, but just on their own, just sitting on their own with Jesus. And as I said to you, my background, I'm a first-generation Christian. I was not brought up in a Christian home. I did not know anything about Jesus. I did everything I could to get myself free and to get myself whole and to get myself right. I studied psychology. I got degrees in psychology. I was a registered psychologist before I became a pastor. And I have great respect for psychologists, but if psychology could have saved me and set me free, I would never have become a Christian. But it didn't have the power to do that. And I knew that I desperately, desperately needed help. I needed a whole new, brand new life. I didn't want a patched up life. I needed a new life, a whole new life. You know, and we've all done stuff wrong. Every single one of us have done the wrong thing. And you know what? Someone has to pay the penalty for stuff that's done that's wrong. Otherwise, it's not just. We all hate it when people get away with the stuff that we know is terribly, terribly wrong. And Jesus would not be, God would not be a just God if he just let sin go away, go unpunished. But he loved me and you so much that he said, you know what, Debbie? You know what? I want to pay the full price for the penalty that you deserve. I'm going to go. I'm going to give my life in exchange for your life. I'm going to pay for every sin that you've committed, every wrong thought, every wrong action. I'm going to pay the full penalty of that in full because I totally forgive you. He did that before I'd ever done anything wrong. He forgives everything that you've ever done, everything that you will ever do. He says, I've completely and totally forgiven you. I want to give you a brand new life, not a patched up old one. All you've got to do is say, yes, that's a good deal and I want it. I want to receive that. I want a brand new life. I know, Lord, that I've done the wrong thing and I thank you that you paid the price for that when you hung on the cross. And I receive that. I receive it. And as you receive that, you do not only receive salvation, forgiveness of sin. You can receive healing physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. You receive all the benefits of a child of God. You are now part of his family. So if you have never given your life over to Jesus Christ, but you know you want to, you desperately want to. Maybe you have, maybe once upon a time you did, but you know you're not living in that place of full surrender now. I wonder if you would just slip your hand up now, if you want to give your life over to Jesus, or you want to recommit your life to Jesus. With every eye closed in this place, I would love you to just slip your hand up because I want to pray for you. Praise God. Thank you. I can see that hand. Thank you. I can see that hand. Thank you. I can see that hand. There are many more hands. Thank you. You can put that hand down. Is there anyone else? I think there's 1, 2, 3, 4 so far. Is there anyone else? It's like, Jesus, I can't do it anymore on my own. I want that deal. Just slip your hand up now. Is there anyone else? Thank you. I see that hand. You can put it down. God bless you. Is there anyone else? That's 5 precious people. But I know there's more in this room. Don't let this opportunity slip you by. Anyone? Praise God. Thank you. Jesus is so excited. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else in this room? You say, see, God loves you so much, He'll cause the whole thing to stop and just wait for you. If your heart is pounding, it's time for you just to surrender. Say, Lord, I give up. I give it all over to you. Is there anyone else? On my left, in the middle section. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Okay. Now I'm going to ask you to do something that is very brave. Because my Bible tells me this. God says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before the Father. So I am going to ask you to do something that is very brave, but it's making a statement which says, you know what? I am now marked. I belong to Jesus. I don't belong to this world. I belong to Jesus Christ. So if you put your hand up, I want you to slip out and come down the front now because I want to pray for you. And we're going to cheer you on. We're going to cheer you on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. There are a couple of others. Come on. Come on. That's right. God bless you. God bless you. Couple more others. Come on. Cheer them on. Come on. Get out of your seat and just come down. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How precious is this? How precious are you all? You are now marked. Right? You are now marked. And the word says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died and rose again, you will be saved. You give your life over to Him and you are now then all of a sudden no longer in this kingdom. You belong to another kingdom. You get access to all the privileges of that other kingdom. This life is dead. Finished, gone. You're a corpse. It's over. It's finished. It's dead. You are now a new creation. Now, come on. We're going to pray with all of them. Amen? Amen. Okay. Very simple words. Very simple. But if they're attached to your heart, they have the power within them to take you from one kingdom to another. So I want you to speak this out of your mouth. And can we all pray it with them? Amen. Okay. Say, Heavenly Father, I confess that I have been doing life my way. But Lord, I turn away from that tonight. Lord, I want to do it your way. Lord, I believe that you died on the cross. And you took on that cross the punishment for my sin. And you rose again. And Father, I believe that you did that for me. So I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Come into my heart, Holy Spirit, and be my Lord, my Savior, and my best friend. I am now born again. All things have passed away. And I declare, all things are now new. I am a new creation. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Can you just stretch out your hands because I'm just going to pray for these guys. Father, I just thank you for each one. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for each one that they are now marked for you. Young man, you are marked for the kingdom of God. There's a call of greatness on your life. The enemy is finished. He is finished. He is finished. He is finished with you. You have an anointing and a power to lead others. And I just release that today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for this young man. I cover him with the blood of Jesus Christ, and I declare no weapon formed against him can or will prosper. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for my sister. I thank you, Lord. I know that she's done it tough. But, Father, I thank you that this is a day of new beginnings. New beginnings. Father, that she's going to see herself the way that you do. That she is precious. That she is beautiful in your sight. That she is a powerful young woman of the Spirit. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to knit her in so beautifully into the family of God. This is a new day in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for this beautiful woman of God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, right now for the Holy Spirit that's all over her. Thank you, Lord. Fill her to overflowing, Holy Spirit. Fill her to overflowing. Yes, just release that joy. That's it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for this precious woman of God. I thank you, Lord, that the enemy's finished. He has no power over her any longer. She is now sealed. She is now marked for you. I thank you, Lord, that she is going to be a powerful weapon in your hand. Lord, that her mouth, there's an anointing on your mouth to speak. There's an anointing on your mouth to sing. There's an anointing of a worshiper on you. And Father, I just release that today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. New creation. New creation. It's done. It's finished. You're dead. The old person's dead. Dead, 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 dead. You're a new creation. You're a new creation. The Lord says that your future is bright. You cannot even imagine what He's got in store for you. This time next year, you're going to look back and be amazed at what God has done in just 12 months because He's accelerating things in your life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I thank you, Holy Spirit, for this young man. I thank you, Lord, that there's been a battle going on in your heart for some time. And the Holy Spirit says, you're mine. You are mine. You are mine. I thank you the Holy Spirit is within you. And remember what we said, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. You don't do life on your own now, you do it with Him. You are anointed. You are appointed. You are a powerful man of the Spirit. You're going to stand up. You're not going to lead others to do what is wrong. You're going to lead others to do what is right. You're going to lead others to do what is right. There's an evangelistic gifting on your life. And it's just going to be released. You're going to not be able to stop talking about what Jesus has done. What Jesus has done. God's going to set up divine appointments for you even in the next week. Divine appointments for you all over the place. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we just thank you. I just cover them with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Lord, that they're going to go from glory to glory and strength to strength. Because, Father, forgetting what lies behind, they are now going to press on to the upward call of God. They are now daughters and sons of the Most High God in your kingdom, Lord. And I just release that new anointing of healing, wholeness, fullness, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.